The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
This program contains explicit content and subject matter which may be unsuitable for some listeners. Discretion is advised.
Sex Out Loud is sponsored by Lilo, award-winning designers of the world's best pleasure objects.
Smart. Sexy. Kinky. Fun.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud with your host, sex educator, author, and filmmaker, Tristan Taramino. It's sex-positive radio like you've never heard before. Tristan talks about sexuality from every angle with leading authors, experts, artists, and icons. From sex education and sexual politics to BDSM and non-monogamy, nothing is off limits. So get ready to open your mind and expand your horizons. This is Sex Out Loud. And now here's your host, Tristan Taramino.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Sex Out Loud. Hey, do you know that you can call us anytime you want and join the conversation, leave us a comment, give me a question? Our 24-hour voicemail line is 323-SEX. 8266 323-SEX-8266. I actually got a wonderful message today from someone named Lindsay. So if you're listening, Lindsay, thanks for your call. And she really interestingly brought together a bunch of multiple different shows and had some comments. And it was around feminism and sexual health. And it gave me a ton of food for thought. So, Lindsay, I'm going to be in touch with you. But keep those calls coming. You guys are so smart and thoughtful. And I love you for that. And it seems like it worked when I told you that I put my ass on Instagram, because I did get a little spike in followers, which just proves that sex sells. So if you want to follow me on Instagram, I don't often post pictures of my ass, but Joanna Angel spanked me for my birthday and left marks. And so I thought I would share it with all of you. I'm at Tristan Taramino on the Instagram. So we've got a returning guest, although it's one who has not been on the show for quite a while and has quite frankly just gotten more famous since she was last on my show. I'm just saying. Let me tell you about her. Jackie St. James is an award-winning writer and director in the adult entertainment industry, and she was dubbed by Salon as the woman who conquered porn. She has guest lectured at UCLA, UCSB, and been featured in Slate, The Huffington Post, The Daily Beast, The Examiner, and many more. Some of St. James's most notable works are Torn, The Temptation of Eve, and The Submission of Emma Marks. She co-directed Torn with Eddie Powell, and it won the AVN Award for Best Romance in 2013, which was the year that that category was first created and introduced. In 2014, The Temptation of Eve and The Submission of Emma Marks won AVN Awards for Best Romance Movie and Best BDSM Movie, respectively. She has won a ton more awards from AVN, from XRCO, from XBiz. And most recently, she's the writer, executive producer, and director of a new series called Submission. It airs on Showtime Thursdays at 11 p.m. And of course, you can also stream that online whenever you want. Welcome back to the show, Jackie.
Thank you so much for having me. It's always a pleasure to talk to you, Tristan.
So I got to watch the first two episodes of the show. And I mean, I've got to say, it really does look amazing.
Thank you.
And so it revolves around this main character named Ashley, who's played by this actress, Ashlyn Yenny, who has just gotten out of a sort of unsatisfying relationship. And she moves in with her friend Jules and finds herself surrounded, well, by lots of people who are more adventurous and more open-minded than she is.
Right.
And we just begin to see her kind of awakening to some sexual possibilities. You know, she hasn't yet gone there in the first two episodes with anyone else. She's gone there in her mind, though.
Yes.
And so she discovers this novel, The Slave, which is a fantasy about a dominant submissive sexual relationship, and it kind of opens up a whole new world for her. And obviously this parallels the 50 Shades of Grey phenomenon. So what is your take on the books, 50 Shades of Grey, and also what they've done to shift the conversation in our culture around sexuality?
I mean, so I read 50 Shades for New Sensations. They wanted me to do a BDSM thing kind of in response to it. And I absolutely, because originally we were going to parody it. And I'm so glad we didn't, because another company did and they ended up getting sued by Universal. I read the book and I absolutely hated it. And I told my boss, I can't even do a parody. I just think it's awful because I don't believe it represents a very strong female protagonist, which is always my go-to. But also because it's depicting a BDSM relationship in such a terrifying and abusive way, that if that serves as the education to the mainstream public on how to have a BDSM relationship, we're doing a major disservice as far as like sex education. Clearly that wasn't E.L. James's objective. Clearly she didn't do a lot of research. But I do have to say, to counter that, it's obviously a huge advantage that this book has had such a impact on people that it's getting people to talk about sex. Even if it's depicting a relationship that's not healthy, it's become more acceptable to talk about more kinky lifestyles. Although I hate using the word kinky to refer to really anything, because I think pretty much everything should be looked at as normal, as long as it's consensual. So there's that advantage to it, but the disadvantages, of course, are the fact that it's just, it's inaccurately portraying BDSM.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. And obviously, I mean, she says she didn't do very much research, and it's clear, that the depth of understanding of what dominance and submission even looks like isn't there. Right. And you don't have that problem. You have other problems. Like, for example, this character Dylan is played by acclaimed adult star Skin Diamond, who happens to be one of my all-time favorite porn stars. Like, if I had to pick five porn stars that I will love forever, Skin Diamond is on that list. Yeah. So this is like actually a good problem to have. And Skin kind of plays this bad girl. She is kinky. She has lots of sex partners. She is kind of the lightning rod for other people's fantasies, including this main character, Ashley, because at least by episode two, it's clear that Ashley is intrigued by her. Mm-hmm. Did you write that role with Skin in mind?
No, actually, it's funny. The role is taken, I mean, as with most things that you write, you know, when you look at the evolution of your piece, the characters evolve so much as you get to know them, and they kind of inform you as they're in your head how to write them. So originally when I wrote the character of Dylan, she was more of just a hippie, free love kind of girl that was really open. Mm-hmm. But it just didn't really work because I think the dynamic was necessary. And through my research, I discovered that there was this thing called an alpha sub, which I didn't really know a lot about, and I found it truly fascinating. So I wanted to explore what a submissive's like that has still alpha qualities. And as we get to know this character, I mean, it will be soon revealed that she's ultimately not a submissive per se. She leans much more towards her dominant side. But so I thought that would be an interesting dynamic to Ashley, who is inherently submissive, although she's a strong woman. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of people look at that and say, oh, submissive weak. And that's absolutely not true. I mean, submissives are extremely strong. But it was a good counter for the two. So I think it worked better to take the character of Dylan that direction versus, having her be this hippie that's right. Just super open.
And then you'd have to be like in Ojai or something.
Exactly.
Where this totally could, I could totally see that show going in a different direction. No offense to anyone who lives in Ojai. Okay. So it's interesting that you brought up the submission, because I feel like the characters in this movie talk openly about women's submissive fantasies, about female submission, about what power means in the bedroom. And you've got a group of women, one of whom is kind of the naysayer, who's all like, you know, scowls and misogyny. Mm-hmm. And then you have this varied group of other women who are sort of in different places around this issue. But why do you think this is an important conversation to have?
I mean, I think it's important because, you know, no matter what position you take, and, you know, the character in the book club that does sort of, you know, turn her nose up to it, I think it's a very easy position to take, especially if you're basing your opinions on a 50 Shades type of book, where it is misogynistic and she has legitimate issues. But I think it's what's important is just opening up a dialogue about what you think sex means for you as an individual. And it's so varied, and to have people with all these different opinions is proof that there is no one, air quotes, normal way to view sex. And so that's why I wanted to show people at all different levels of opinions, I guess, with regards to sex and sexuality, especially with dominance and submission. Mm-hmm. And there is no one right or wrong way to feel about it.
Yeah, that comes across clear. And in many ways, it's even more diverse than, say, like a conversation on Sex and the City, where everyone just seems to be like, oh, yeah, we're down with all of it. There's a little bit of dissent in the group, and there's at times some ambivalence about it.
Yeah, exactly.
We have to take a commercial break. How did that happen? I don't know. Maybe because I haven't talked to Jackie myself for like years. So we have a lot to catch up on. Okay, guys, let's take a break and hear from our fantastic sponsors, including Lilo. You know, Lilo is still running that special, which is that you can get a discount on the Ida, which is a remote-controlled couples vibrator, worn during vaginal intercourse. It lets you share powerful vibrations and intense rotations, but it also is remote controlled, which I think is a good time for anyone, however you deploy that. You just got to go to Lilo.com and use the coupon code TristanIda, TRISTANIDA, for 20% off. Stay with us. We are going to continue to talk about submission and what BDSM looks like on TV these days, with Jackie St. James. So don't go anywhere. Hey everyone, it's Tristan. Listen, there is nothing sexier than experience. Just ask the Pleasure Chest. As the oldest sex-positive boutique in America, this legendary establishment has made it their mission to provide sexual fulfillment to everyone, regardless of orientation, identity, or experience. With stores in New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago, as well as online, the Pleasure Chest wants to help you have the best sex of your life. Whether you're buying your first vibrator or your 10th leather flogger, you'll be assisted by a knowledgeable and friendly staff in an elegant, sex-positive environment. If you're looking to expand your sexual expertise, they offer free weekly workshops in locations nationwide where no subject is taboo or off limits. Visit PleasureChest.com to learn more, because sex never goes out of style. You can use the coupon code Tristan at checkout and enjoy a free Pleasure Chest lube with every purchase.
Pleasure and the freedom of sexual expression are universal human rights, and the better they're understood, the better they're enjoyed. For over a decade, Lilo has been designing pleasure objects that allow their owners to explore their bodies and better understand exactly what makes them feel good. Lilo knows that when you explore your sensations alone, the better equipped you are to start living a healthy, more vibrant, more satisfying life in every other respect. The right Lilo product, and there are many, for every purpose and solo sensation, can help you discover what feels right over and over again. Visit Lilo.com or any good adult store today to learn more, because sometimes the greatest gift you can get is the one you give yourself.
Ready to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning expert guide sex education series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code SEXOUTLOUD for 25% off your order.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan at puckerup.com. That's Tristan at puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. Hey, I'm going to be in San Diego in June 25th to be exact. I'm doing an event called Poly Talks and Wry Relationships, which are guided open forums in a Q&A format that explore consensual non-monogamy, monoamory, polyamory, relationship anarchy, don't ask, don't tell, swingers, BDSM, casual sex, non-exclusive dating, threesomes, and much more. I will tweet out the link to that. There's also a great Facebook event. You can buy tickets, and when you buy tickets, you'll find out where it is, the location. But it's from 4 to 7:30 in San Diego, June 25th. I hope I see you guys there. So I've been talking with adult director, producer, writer, Jackie St. James, who has a new series on Showtime, Submission. And okay, I have so many questions. I mean, first of all, I feel like it's really important to acknowledge that there are still these tremendous barriers to explicit depictions of sexuality on TV.
Yes.
I know that we're in the age now of Netflix and Hulu and True Blood and Californication and all those things, right? So I know everyone's sort of upped their game. But the truth is there isn't a lot of new programming that is saying we're going to deal with sex explicitly. Our whole show is about sex and sexuality.
Right.
So I really want to encourage listeners to support this show with your eyeballs and your money. The only way that more of these shows are going to get made is if Showtime sees that there is a desire and a market for this. And so if you want to see more Jackie St. James work on Showtime, which I think we all do, then you've got to watch it. So this is a call to action to support this show so that we can keep having kind of more shows like it. You know, in some ways, Jackie, what you're doing on this show is not new for you, right? It's right in line with what you've been doing in the adult industry. I mean, you have strong scripts and storytelling, really good acting, mixing all of that with hot sex. So I can see how this is like a regular day at the office for you in some ways, just with an entirely new platform. But what are some of the ways that the process or even the final product is different now that you're working basically in mainstream television?
I mean, it's funny because you think, oh, once I go into mainstream, there'll be more money to do whatever I'm trying to do. That, you know, porn is a lot lower budget and you're always scraping by to try and do the best you can with no money. But it's so funny because it's exactly the same in mainstream. Like, you still don't have all the money that you need to get something done. You still don't have the time. There's still the stresses. I think that one of the bigger challenges for me was I was working with people primarily that were not from an adult background. And so it was, the casting process was incredibly labor intensive to find people and to have a conversation with them before we even got onto set about what that would be required, and finding people who are really comfortable with the sexuality aspect of it. Because while it's still choreographed to an extent, there's also real things happening. You're really legitimately kissing somebody. Somebody's really, you know, sucking on your breast. So there's,
and people are grinding into you,
yes,
whether you're wearing that little paper thong or not.
Exactly. So it was really finding the right group of people that weren't from an adult background that were down to really explore sexuality and depict it on television in a way that really isn't done, because the way you see most shows right now, it's a 10-second scene. And for this, it's pretty much a full minute that you're looking at. So it was challenging. It was challenging because they're not really having sex, and it was challenging because I'm not really working with the majority of adult performers.
Right. You have a few kind of sprinkled yes. here and there. And I saw on the cast list, Casey Calvert is going to be around, and Charlotte Stokely.
Yep.
And of course, Skin Diamond, who is, you know, yes. your kind of resident bad girl. That's in quotes, people. Yeah. But I wondered what it was like to work with this sort of non-adult industry talent, and what it's like to just shoot soft core, right? Mm-hmm.
Because yeah.
some of the ways that you get, like, I was struck by the girl scene with Skin and the stranger at the coffee shop in the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
Because that felt especially potent to me.
Mm-hmm.
But then I was remembering, wait, she's shooting softcore and these people are not performing. So how are we getting that sort of level of energy when in fact there's nothing, they're not having sex?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because, and also as the series goes on, I mean, the first two episodes, I think, are, you know, most of the early episodes in any series are a little weaker because it's more exposition, it's setting up, and you're not really getting to know the relationships and the characters. But as the series goes on, it progresses. And I think even though we shot everything out of order, I mean, we shot it like a feature, not like an episodic.
Mm-hmm.
That the strongest sex scenes that you're going to see are in episodes 3 to 6. And I think it's primarily because the actors had spent a little more time when we got to those scenes. We didn't shoot everything in order, but those scenes happened, I think, later in the production process. So you had this insane chemistry that was built between the performers. So there was, and thank God they all got along, because what would have happened if they hated each other? But
right.
They had this rapport already and they felt safe with each other. And so it was safe to explore this chemistry, even though it wasn't something that was actually happening, I guess you could say, or they weren't really having sex, but there was still that desire to, you know, depict the chemistry, to keep that energy high. I mean, we were fortunate in that scene with Skin and the other young lady, Sydney, where they were super attracted to each other when they met each other. So it was just like, they would just went wild the second we set action. It was great.
Okay. Yeah. No, because that seemed very palpable. And I was like,
yeah.
Wow. I mean, for softcore, this is pretty, it feels more relatable and just a little bit more visceral than some softcore where I feel like everyone is just sort of, you know, blank stares.
Yeah. No,
like just long shots, you know, it's just like, oh.
Yeah, painful.
But that sort of brings me to my next question, which is, you know, there was at one point a ton of great softcore and it was all on like paid cable shows. I mean, I'm thinking of, you know, HBO had Real Sex and did a bunch of stuff with Katie Morgan. And then they had Zalman King's Pleasure or Pain. Mm-hmm. And of course, Showtime had Red Shoe Diaries forever.
Yep.
And there was plenty of softcore on Cinemax. And so I'm wondering if you are going to usher in a return to late night softcore. I mean, do you think as more and more mainstream shows are pushing the envelope sexually, there is a space for softcore?
There is. And I mean, I think, you know, Skinemax obviously has always been doing it. But it's the quality has. I mean, this is no offense to the filmmakers doing it. I mean, it's just, they're doing it for, it's just solely the sex. It's just bouncing breasts. And that's really the objective because that's what they're selling. Whereas, you know, Red Shoe Diaries back in the day was a story and it was engaging and you were invested in the sex. And I think that even Red Shoe Diaries didn't have the required 3 sex scenes that I have for submission per episode. So you were getting a little bit more story, but I think that it started where those shows were more high quality, more story driven, then it became more sexually driven. And now what, you know, I'm trying to do is really focus on doing a very sexually driven show that has a story that backs it up. And I think that this is absolutely an opportunity that's presented itself because we're seeing more and more shows like The Affair or Game of Thrones that have a lot of sexual content in them. And it's not as taboo and risque anymore as it was in the days of Red Shoe Diaries, where that was super risque.
I mean, that was racy stuff.
That was very racy in back then. So Yeah. I mean, now it's more acceptable. It's like not really that shocking to see late night at this point, but.
And I wonder if you think you're going to attract a new group of fans to your hardcore work, that they may be introduced to you on this show, right? And yeah. And through softcore, and then say, hey, I wonder if there's anything just a little bit more explicit. And then they're like, oh, wait, she's done a million movies.
Right. You know, I don't know. I never thought about it like that. I mean, I have more of my followers are from, you know, my adult background, obviously, because that's where I've developed the followers. I don't know if it will go the other direction. I'm not sure. I mean, I have heard from a few people that have reached out, and it's been couples right now saying, we found your show, we are watching it together, and we're enjoying it. So that's always good. And I think that that's really the market that we're kind of attracting with this, is the couples market, which would be great if they did start watching my adult stuff, because that's mostly couples as well.
Right, right. Yeah, and I just think that there, again, I feel like the spotlight is on you more than, say, Game of Thrones, because you've explicitly said, like, the show is about sex, right? So you're more likely to sort of be targeted by the, you know, morality and the media and all that bullshit. Mm-hmm. But you're not doing anything that they're not already doing.
Right. I know.
Depiction wise, the conversations about sexuality are very explicit and thought provoking. And that's what I want to talk about next, but we got to take another break. Hey, you know, I tell you every week that the Pleasure Chest has an amazing lineup of free workshops. And next week is no different. There's a bunch of workshops happening nationwide on Wednesday, June 1st. So these are all Wednesday, June 1st. They're all from 8 to 10 p.m. They're all free. In Chicago, it's Queering Your Sex with Ash. In L.A., it's Gay Sex for Men with Damon Holzem. And in New York, it's Awaken Your Senses with Denise. You can find out more about this by going to pleasurechest.com, of course. And let's take a break. And when we come back, we're gonna get over the sex for a minute and talk about what they're talking about on this show, because it's equally as fascinating. So stay with us.
Pleasure and the freedom of sexual expression are universal human rights, and the better they're understood, the better they're enjoyed. For over a decade, Lilo has been designing pleasure objects that allow their owners to explore their bodies and better understand exactly what makes them feel good. Lilo knows that when you explore your sensations alone, the better equipped you are to start living a healthy, more vibrant, more satisfying life in every other respect. The right Lilo product, and there are many for every purpose and solo sensation, can help you discover what feels right over and over again. Visit Lilo.com or any good adult store today to learn more, because sometimes the greatest gift you can get is the one you give yourself.
Hey everyone, it's Tristan. Listen, there is nothing sexier than experience. Just ask the Pleasure Chest. As the oldest sex-positive boutique in America, this legendary establishment has made it their mission to provide sexual fulfillment to everyone, regardless of orientation, identity, or experience. With stores in New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago, as well as online, the Pleasure Chest wants to help you have the best sex of your life. Whether you're buying your first vibrator or your 10th leather flogger, you'll be assisted by a knowledgeable and friendly staff in an elegant, sex-positive environment. If you're looking to expand your sexual expertise, they offer free weekly workshops in locations nationwide where no subject is taboo or off-limits. Visit PleasureChest.com to learn more, because sex never goes out of style. You can use the coupon code Tristan at checkout and enjoy a free Pleasure Chest lube with every purchase.
No fluff, no lies, just real women talking real sex.
I am so bruised on my girl bits.
Sex gets real.
Sex gets so real.
So real up in here.
A weekly podcast with Dawn.
I just masturbated.
and Dylan.
Let's talk about the elusive clit.
Check them out on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and at sexgetsreal.com.
Cock rings.
Cock rings.
Become our friend on Facebook. Post your thoughts about our shows and network on our timeline. Visit facebook.com/Voice America.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to tristan@puckerup.com. That's tristan@puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. We are talking today with Jackie St. James about her new Showtime series, Submission. And remember, you can always call in with your questions and comments at 323-SEX-8266, 323-SEX-8266. I want to remind you that I'm going to be in Dallas, July 22nd to 23rd. I am keynoting at Poly Dallas Millennium, presents their second annual symposium. This one is called Designer Relationships, and it's all about open relationships and non-monogamy. Their symposium aims to educate, expose, and experience the knowledge and expertise of national and local speakers who've lived and advocated for surpassing the ceiling. Go to polydallasmillennium.com for tickets. The first event they did was really successful, and I'm looking forward to this one. They have a bunch of great speakers and lineups, and they've announced the schedule. And so you can see all of that on the website. Okay, so Jackie, I was struck kind of from right from go in this series that the characters are having very sophisticated conversations about sexuality and power and gender. And I mean, you cover a lot of ground in two like half hour shows. We heard a woman talking about how most women don't orgasm from penetration alone. Yeah. People were tackling power dynamics in heterosexual relationships, submission fantasies, non-monogamy. There was a nod to slut shaming around the one character who has a lot of sex. Mm-hmm. And so there's an agenda here, and that actually caught me off guard. I thought for some reason, if this is going to be mainstream, you are going to have to sort of dumb it down a little. No, I really did. And I felt like, oh my God, we're having like real conversations about women's sexuality, not this sort of fluffy bullshit, quite frankly.
Sure.
And was that your intention all along? Like, if I'm going to have this platform, I'm going to throw it all on the wall.
Yeah. I mean, for me, even in my, you know, hardcore movies, I'm always trying to explore different themes and lessons or open dialogue and communication surrounding issues. Even if it seems like it's a very lighthearted piece, I'm always trying to sneak in there issues that I think are important and I'm passionate about.
Yeah. I mean, you hit on a number of things, even just in the first episode. And I'm wondering if there was any pushback from the people above you, not your producing partners, obviously, but like way above you. Did anyone be like, wow, this is really centered on women's pleasure and might alienate male viewers? Like, did that conversation ever happen?
No, but there were certain things that I was really passionate about, and they were very supportive of me exploring sexuality from, and I hate say, you know, putting gender into this because, you know, my opinion isn't that of all women, but I am a woman, so it's my opinions as a woman. But one of the things that I really wanted to explore was a sex scene not ending with a male coming, mm-hmm. but with a woman having an orgasm,
yeah.
which you really don't see very often at all.
Well, and also, you have oral sex galore. There's cunnilingus for days in this show, people. And I know, from a director's point of view, cunnilingus is like not that fun to shoot softcore because it's just a head between legs.
Yes. It's super awkward and funny. And there were times where we're like, you need to go lower. It looks super fake.
Right. No, it looks real, but I was just keep thinking like, there's no way to shoot this. If you can't show anything, there's not a lot of ways to shoot this except head between yeah. legs, head between yeah. legs.
You're getting to know your scene partner really well.
Yes. You might as well be giving them oral sex through underwear. I mean, your head is right fair. And there's a lot of, yeah, there's a lot of motion. No, but it's clear that you want to, you're not sort of sticking with necessarily all this traditional scripts where everything kind of leads to intercourse and everyone's coming like crazy from intercourse.
No, I mean, we wanted to keep it as real as possible. And for me, it was important that, you know, even there's a sex scene in episode 2 between Ashley and this guy that she works with. And it wasn't like this mind-blowing, you know, perfect encounter. There was a lot of fumbling.
That's just on the couch.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, so I thought, you know, it's important that we really try and show sex in a variety of different ways, from the people that are kind of awkward and clumsy to the people that really know what's going on and own their sexuality a little bit more. So that was important for me, and so that all the sex scenes are different.
Yeah, no, I liked that, and I appreciated that. And it sort of surprised me. I was like, no man at Showtime is like, what's going on here, people? Like, I just imagine that happening, being like, what's going on here? Why isn't there more intercourse? Why are men not coming more? I'm feeling freaked out about this. So it's a nice shift, because even in some of the most, I think, progressive shows on television that explore sex, they sometimes just go back to this old formula.
Right.
And I'm like, why are you being so good in the writing and so good and smart and thinking about this show and the premise and the characters, and then you're dropping off and just sort of phoning in the sex, like
exactly.
It's 1990 or something.
Right.
You're not doing that, to be clear. You're not doing that. So I'm wondering if you think there'll be a season 2.
I don't know. And I mean, it was always, I always went into this, you know, not really having any expectations. I just wanted to be able to put this feather in my cap and say, you know, I wrote an episodic series by myself and I directed it myself. And, you know, whether it's successful or a failure, I succeeded because I was able to accomplish that and get it on the air. But the last conversation I had with the network was that we were up 93% in views from episode 1 to 2. I don't know how last night went, but that's a good sign. The series does end on a gigantic cliffhanger. So if it doesn't get a second season, it's going to leave a lot of open-ended questions. But, you know, maybe that's not always a bad thing. I don't know. I'm not necessarily hopeful, but I'm also not pessimistic. I don't really know where we're at in terms of a second season.
Okay.
If we get one, great.
Okay, well, we have the power, people, to
watch the show,
influence this by watching the show and talking about it online and writing wonderful think pieces for feminist websites. Please do that, everyone, in all your free time. Has there been anything that has surprised you about making it? I mean, you talked about kind of production is production, right? So it's like all the hell that you've experienced already with adult production. It's all the same, the waiting around, the like things that go wrong, the location problems, the blah, 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 right? But is there anything that you feel like in working, for example, with non-porn people, you know, in a space of such kind of intimacy and vulnerability, anything that surprised you in the process?
Okay. I mean, I was surprised by, you know, there were obviously challenges with some people feeling comfortable, despite the fact that we had numerous conversations. Of course, you know, it's awkward for mainstream people, but I was blown away by Ashlyn Yenny in every step of the way, and our leading man, Justin Berti, who plays Elliot, in that they completely owned their roles, including the sexuality of their roles. And Ashlyn Yenny does something in episode 5 that I don't believe has ever been done in television, was the most terrifying moment of my directing career. And she approached it with so much courage and grace, and I was floored. So I have to say, you can never underestimate somebody just because they're not an adult performer, that they can't really own the role despite the, you know, what's required of it. So that would be my answer to that. I mean, obviously, aside from challenges that do happen on set, and it's exponentially more stressful when it's mainstream.
Of course, of course. Wow, that is quite a tease and a build-up for episode 5, by the way. Like, what is that? I mean, that's completely got me curious now. Okay.
You know, and it was funny because as a director, and I'm watching it, and because it was something where, you know, it was a BDSM act, and we had Aiden Starr as our BDSM consultant, and so there was that, you know, somebody there as a sort of a safety, but as a director, and you're putting your leading lady, not in harm's way, but it's still making her exceptionally vulnerable. And I kept saying, we have to get this in one take. Like, I was sweating watching the monitor. I like just wanted to get it done. Like, but it ended up looking so truly beautiful. And she really did experience a submissive experience. I mean, she really went through what a submissive would go through in that moment. And it was great to watch.
Well, that's the other challenging thing about this, right? Is that a lot of sex can sort of be faked, quote unquote, right?
Yes.
But a lot of BDSM can't be.
Not. Like, no, it can't.
When that little maid gets wax dripped on her nipples, that's wax.
Yes.
There's no CGI. There's no way to do that. Like, there's no fake wax. There's just wax.
Yeah, just wax.
And the same with like sort of these spankings and little slaps and little, you know, and bondage. I mean, quite frankly, you actually have to be in bondage. It can be looser than it might be in a scene, but you still have to be tied up.
You're still restrained. Yep, exactly.
And someone gets put in these little mitts. I think you got them at Stockroom. I think.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. And she's like serious, and then they kind of clip her behind her back, and she's seriously restrained. I mean, there's a moment where she kind of realizes it, and you as the viewer, I think, also realize it at the moment. Like, oh wait, this is no joke. She literally can't move her arms or hands and get out of this if she wanted to.
Right.
So that must be scary for people who didn't necessarily do any BDSM before they got cast in this.
Yeah. And I mean, it was funny because when we, you know, because it's not adult content, you have these long nudity riders where you have to specifically write out every act that they will have to perform in each scene. And I had lengthy conversations with Ashlyn, but she was really down to do it. I mean, because she is a method actor and she embraced it. She embodied it, and she lived the life of a submissive during the 3 weeks of shooting. It was great.
Yeah, she's very, very compelling.
Love her.
And obviously, we know that there's an arc on the way, right? Her brain is moving sort of 10 miles an hour at all times in all scenes. And she's like a little sponge kind of soaking up all these things going on around her. So we know what's coming, which is like a sort of sexual awakening for her. And she's playing it right on key. It doesn't feel derivative or trashy or, well, quite frankly, like in the movie, 50 Shades of Grey, sad. I mean, there was just some sadness in that movie.
Like, it was so sad in that when she didn't even want to be in a BDSM relationship. And then she asked what she was getting out of it. His answer was me.
Yeah.
Which is to me just so cringeworthy.
Yeah. It's like, you just want to go, you want to swoop in and be like, hey, just so you know, I could set you up on FetLife, Anastasia, and we could get you some really capable, amazing, emotionally present dominance. You don't have to get in the helicopter just yet, but okay. She did. So there just feels like Ashley's character obviously has more agency and is thinking about this all in terms of her own sexual journey rather than like, this is the way to get the guy.
Right, exactly. It's not about a guy for her. I mean, there's a curiosity with that book and with Nolan Keats and so on and so forth. So, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to take another break, folks. We have to find out what else Jackie St. James is up to because, you know, she's one of those slackers who doesn't do a lot in a year. So I guess she's going on vacation for the next 6 months. But let's ask, just for the hell of it, I'm just going to ask what she might be up to in her other jobs. So stay with us, more with Jackie St. James when we get back. Hey everyone, it's Tristan. Listen, there is nothing sexier than experience. Just ask the Pleasure Chest. As the oldest sex-positive boutique in America, this legendary establishment has made it their mission to provide sexual fulfillment to everyone, regardless of orientation, identity, or experience. With stores in New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago, as well as online, the Pleasure Chest wants to help you have the best sex of your life. Whether you're buying your first vibrator or your 10th leather flogger, you'll be assisted by a knowledgeable and friendly staff in an elegant, sex-positive environment. If you're looking to expand your sexual expertise, they offer free weekly workshops in locations nationwide where no subject is taboo or off limits. Visit PleasureChest.com to learn more, because sex never goes out of style. You can use the coupon code Tristan at checkout and enjoy a free Pleasure Chest lube with every purchase.
Pleasure and the freedom of sexual expression are universal human rights, and the better they're understood, the better they're enjoyed. For over a decade, Lilo has been designing pleasure objects that allow their owners to explore their bodies and better understand exactly what makes them feel good. Lilo knows that when you explore your sensations alone, the better equipped you are to start living a healthy, more vibrant, more satisfying life in every other respect. The right Lilo product, and there are many for every purpose and solo sensation, can help you discover what feels right over and over again. Visit Lilo.com or any good adult store today to learn more, because sometimes the greatest gift you can get is the one you give yourself.
Ready to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning expert guide sex education series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code SEXOUTLOUD for 25% off your order.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan at puckerup.com. That's Tristan at puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. Hey, I want to remind you that I'm going to be in DC this summer doing my sex educator boot camps at Woodhull's Sexual Freedom Summit. Level 2 and the debut of Level 3. They're both happening August 4th. Level 2 is happening 9 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. Level 3 is happening 2 to 6 p.m., 4 hours of greatness. Level 3 is also going to include a special presentation on advancing racial justice in sex education by members of WOCSHN, the Women of Color Sexual Health Network, Trina Scott, who's a co-founder, Cindy Lee Alves, and Ida Mandalay. You have got to come to these boot camps, people. And just so you know, because you've been asking me about it online, yes, I am offering an online version of Level 1. I haven't officially announced it yet, and I don't have a link for you to go to yet. But there will be Level 1 in July, early July. Level 1, where you can take it online. You're going to be able to watch it kind of at your leisure over several days. And then there's going to be a live conference call. And I'll tell you more about that. And hey, I've got a special discount for all my listeners. Use the promo code DEAL25, DEAL25, for 25% off your registration. Okay, go do it now. Just follow the link from my Twitter, go to my website, puckerup.com, and click on Tristan on Tour, and you've got all the links there about how to register. Okay, so we're back talking with Jackie St. James. We've been talking about her new Showtime series, Submission. She also has this other full-time job, directing and writing and producing for New Sensations. So tell me what you are up to on that front. Are you still doing the romance series? Are you, I know you're doing this Taboo Tales thing. Tell me what you're up to now.
So right now I'm working primarily actually on Girl Girl. And I'm doing a lot of romance, lesbian scenes. and I'm soon to be shooting an older, younger lesbian scene, and I'm working on a girl-girl feature.
Oh, a whole girl-girl feature.
Yeah.
Okay, we don't have that many of those.
No.
We really don't. Like, it makes me think, you know, it makes me sort of harken back to the Triangle days. Remember River Rock Women's Prison?
Oh, my God, yes.
That's just like one of the all-time classics. That was a good one. But, I mean, you know, like, Shine Louise Houston is about to release a feature called Snapshot, you know, very soon. But not a lot of people do all-girl features. Like, no one does it, do they?
Not really. It's not as common. I think Digital Playground did it back in the day, but it's certainly not that common, and it's exciting because I've only ever done boy-girl features, so this will be an interesting endeavor, and it's exciting because I love working with women and, again, being able to explore issues that a lot of women face, so that's what I will be doing. I'm still working on the script, so it's a matter of, once that's done, casting it, getting it shot.
And so no more heterosexual romance? Is heterosexual romance dead?
I think it might be.
No.
Come on. In the days of Tinder and Snapchat, I don't think there is such a thing as boy-girl romance. No, seriously, we haven't done a romance series movie in a really long time. I think the last one was called Laws of Love, which I didn't even direct. It was written by somebody that's not in the industry. And Emma Marks was there. We did three of those. And that's the last feature I've worked on.
Wow.
Yeah. I know. Yeah. It's weird how, like, your career takes different paths. But, you know, you're in adult, because so much content stolen, you're always trying to pursue what's turning a profit.
And or what's next, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have been crowned the most powerful person in porn by more than a few media outlets, including Salon. Do you feel like there are still barriers for women in the industry behind the camera?
I do. And I mean, I think it's because partly, I mean, if I had the money to produce my own content, the sex would be extremely different. And
oh, what does this mean? Okay, stop there. We'll table the question for a second. What does that mean, Jackie St. James?
Well, meaning that, you know, because, like I just said, with the whole thing about turning a profit and having to make sure it sells, there's certain requirements. So meaning there's a certain amount of penetration that needs to be shown, and they need to be X length, because if it's not, then the person who's paying for it feels like they got gypped. So the scenes tend to, I feel, drag. I mean, you can't have a really thrilling, exciting scene every time that's 25 minutes. It's just, you know, adult stars are working so frequently that they're not going to have the energy to put forth some epic scene every time they go to work.
Right.
So for me, I would do shorter sex scenes. I would do basically no penetration. I would do more wide shots with a few close-ups, but not really worrying about getting any penetration. The things I find most erotic are, like, legitimately shot amateur scenes, not, you know, the amateur stuff that you see on a well-known studio that's
paying. Right, right. Not this crap that is supposedly amateur, but it's on the tube sites. Yeah.
Right. Amateur with, like, seasoned porn stars. It's not amateur.
Right.
But so for me, that's kind of the angle that I would take if I was doing my own content. But I also have to look out for our distributors and what they want and ask for. So I'm shooting not necessarily exactly how I would like to.
This is fascinating. That I didn't know this about you, Jackie.
Yeah. Yeah.
So in some ways, some of this, I don't need to worry about the penetration, is really, you really like that for the Showtime series.
I do. I what I don't like is that you're having to completely avoid everything.
And right. No, and also because I know I've shot softcore at the same time of shooting hardcore. It's just it's easier when people are having sex, because
it really is.
You know, they're connected in a particular way, and there's not as much performance per se, because actually there's a lot of stimulation happening, and their bodies are reacting, and they're reacting, and so that part is hard, I think, right?
Yeah, for sure.
So you would still have people having sex. You just wouldn't necessarily sort of follow the kind of formulas of the close-up.
No, or like there needs to be four positions. I mean, you know, how often do people really have four positions when they're having sex with somebody they've been with for years? I mean, so for me, I'd be more than happy to just have one really strong position where people are legitimately, and that's not to say that the people are shooting the scenes that I'm directing are not having fun, but they could probably be having more fun if it was less worrying about opening up and more just about the connection.
Yeah, yeah, totally. Okay, we're out of time. Jackie, thanks so much for spending a little bit of your Friday night with us.
Absolutely. It was my pleasure.
Jackie St. James is the writer, the executive producer, and the director of Submission, a new series on Showtime that airs Thursdays at 11 p.m. Of course, you can also see it on Showtime's website whenever you want, on demand and on all your devices. You can find out more about her work at JackieSt.James.com and follow her on Twitter. Are you all just Jackie St. James on Twitter?
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
At Jackie St. James. And Jackie is J-A-C-K-Y, just so you know, people. I want to thank everyone who makes this show possible. Executive producer Karen Dana, associate producer Raymond Johnson, segment producer and editor Colton, announcer Cooper Beckett from Life on the Swing Set, Matt, my engineer, and everyone at Voice America. If you missed any part of the show or want to hear it again, you can listen on demand or download the MP3 by going to voiceamerica.com and searching for Sex Out Loud. You can also subscribe to it as a podcast on iTunes. And if you're there and you want to review it, that would be amazing too. Tune in next Friday, 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern, when my guest will be Dr. Mireille Miller-Young. I've had her on the show before, but this time we will be talking about her award-winning book that came out last year, A Taste for Brown Sugar, Black Women in Pornography. This is a conversation that we had at CatalystCon, and we had a technical error, and we lost all of the audio, which is a tragedy, but now we are going to recreate it. We're not going to recreate it, but we're going to have a new conversation about this really incredible book. Until then, get me on Twitter at Tristan Taramino and at Sex Out Loud Radio, and take some time to talk about sex out loud.
That's a wrap on today's show. Go to voiceamerica.com to listen to this and other episodes on demand or as podcasts. And make sure you come back next Friday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific, for Sex Out Loud with Tristan Taramino on Voice America Variety.